The apostolic writings frequently admonish the new Gentile believers to refrain from idolatry and reminds them that idolatry is part of their past pre-Messiah life, something to be left behind. For example, Paul tells the Corinthians in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 2, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led." Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, "For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Yeshua, who rescues us from the wrath to come." These new Gentile believers needed to be constantly reminded of their pagan past in order that they not fall back into those same traps. Pagan ways are for pagans and not those who have been redeemed by the blood of Messiah. According to Paul, even these pagans should know better. He writes in Romans chapter 1, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures." The book of Revelation tells us that in the end of days, idolaters and sorcerers will be thrown into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All in all, for Paul and the rest of the apostles, the message of the gospel and turning from idolatry go hand in hand. To turn back again to paganism and practices of Avodah Zarah would be walking away from the work of redemption. New Testament scholar Paul Barnett writes, "Paul's call to turn from idols was fundamental to his proclamation of the gospel. To return to idolatry or to fail to disengage from it would be to receive the grace of God in vain." No doubt the allure to fall back into paganism and idolatry had a strong gravitational pull on the early church, especially after her separation from Judaism. But the reality is that Christianity staunchly challenged the pagan world and held its ground against pagan idolatry for centuries. The blood of many martyrs soaked the ground of the ancient world because those Christians refused to bow down to the gods of the Roman world. Because Avodah Zarah was not such a big snare for Jewish people in the Second Temple period and Talmudic era, rabbinic writings often expanded the prohibition of idolatry to metaphorically or spiritually encompass other things. For example, some rabbis considered anger a form of idolatry because an angry person denies that God is in control, which, by extension, implies a form of Avodah Zarah. The angry person makes himself out to be God. The sages also viewed things such as saying one's prayers while intoxicated, not giving tzedakah, that is charity, or breaking one's word as all forms of idolatry. But all of these things, including anger, are just spiritualizations, new applications, and do not literally or actually constitute idolatry. We find another apostolic example of this in Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 5. "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." Here, Paul equates greed and materialism with idolatry. This is because material possessions, when they gain control of a person, become his or her God. In reality, whatever controls us becomes our God, whether it is greed, lust, or even what other people think of us. But there are only a few examples in the apostolic writings of the spiritualization of idolatry. This is because, as we have seen, idolatry in the days of the apostles was a real issue, and it continued to be an issue for believers for hundreds of years, as is evidenced by the writings of the church fathers through the 4th century. Summing it up, We have seen that avoiding a Vodazara was an extremely important issue in the early days of the believing community. Both the Master and the later apostles were deeply committed to not only avoiding idolatrous practices themselves, but also in pulling out others from such delusions. The heavily pagan background of life outside of Israel often caused problems for Paul as he spoke out against idolatry, and at times he would use his knowledge of idolatry and idolatrous texts to prove the existence of the one true God. There is ample evidence to tell us that participation in Avodah Zarah by new Gentile believers was a real temptation, and Paul and the other New Testament writers were not short on words expressing the dangers of falling back into such sins. While there are a few examples in the apostolic writings of the spiritualization of the prohibitions of idolatry, such as comparing Avodah Zarah to greed, for the most part, the New Testament contains warnings against the actual physical practice of idolatry. In the next CD, we will begin to get into some practical application. How should we as believers today feel and react towards the customs and holidays of the countries we live in? What about holidays and practices that have supposed pagan roots? Hopefully, we will come up with more answers than questions.